Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo.
And tonight we have George Dixon, and he's already called in.
I have to open up the chat room here for a second. And
as soon as we do, then we will activate George. And tonight we're going to talk about the heart.
We'll activate George.
We'll activate him on his phone.
We'll activate George.
There he is. You get him right on. We're going to talk about the heart, I believe.
You have been activated, George.
There we go. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
We're fine here in Connecticut. That's great. The snow has missed us, so we're quite happy.
I know. It's missed me, too, and I just feel so bad for those people below me. Below me in the snow belt, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really getting slammed. I guess they do for about 30 inches down in D.C.
Well, George, I think I was going to read the description of our show so that people know what we're supposed to be talking about tonight.
Go ahead, Leo.
I might change it as we change our topics.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, the problem I have is, with these tags, you know, they want you to put like five tag words when you put up this show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So and then write a description and all that. But the thing is, we talk about so many things, right?
It's hard to really pinpoint.
Yeah.
But go ahead, read the thing.
But I always start off with Friday Night with George Dixon, you know, big capital letters, right? And tonight, Lila and I and George Dixon, Lila and I join George Dixon, as we discuss the Mayan calendar, the timetable for 2010, the sixth night of the galactic period, the current economic and political events, as well as new scientific discoveries.
Now, how does that relate to the heart, George?
I don't think people know it.
Well, it's following our heart's desire. I mean, we are experiencing where our heart has directed us.
Things, yeah.
But no, that's
dimensions, what's the word?
Parallel
dimensions.
Parallel dimensions, yeah.
Multi-parallel.
Can you turn that volume up a little bit, Leo, so we can hear George a little better? I just asked Leo to turn up your volume.
Yeah.
You said you were going to talk about the heart. In fact, I thought I caught you say something about following your heart's desire.
That's right.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this fifth night that we're in.
Yeah.
And and how we're looking at it, or, you know, how we've been looking at it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I go back, I think, the last couple of months.
Okay.
And, you know, we've been talking about, you know, this turnaround where the fifth night basically is a time where everything falls. It's a matter of picking up the pieces and starting anew.
George, wait. You said fifth night.
You mean
sixth? Yeah, sixth night. I'm sorry.
You said it. I was wondering if we were on the right
path here.
Well, yes, but we can even take this back to the fifth day and the fifth night, because at that time, I think the understanding was this polarity unity, or this polarity consciousness and polarity world that we live in. I mean, there are two sides of us, and it's always been that way. But it's a duality that we share with everything and even our consciousness. And it's coming to that understanding that, you know, you have good and you have bad. And one is not better or worse than the other. It's just a product of the experience. So, you know, in understanding where these two different powers or consciousness dwells from, it deals with different aspects of our life. One is the thinking process, and one is the feeling process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through this feeling process on the sixth night that we're experiencing now, which we are experiencing, or we are drawing to us our feelings, good and bad, you know, to ourselves, and it's how we look at reality. Now, let me back up here in a sense. You know, you take a look at what's going on in the financial world. We've been talking about the changes and, you know, what's been happening. And the truth is that in order for us to overcome this financial situation, is that it has to fall. It has to fall completely, and it's not something that can be fixed. It has to be replaced. And us holding on to what we have and trying to, you know, put a different band-aid or looking at it a different way is not going to help. And because the system itself is flawed. So it's just repeating the energy that's put into it now, and it has to die out so you can start anew. In order for you to replace it, you know, it has to fall, and that's what we're experiencing now.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, you mean the fall of the stock market, the slide?
Well, yes, the fall, yes, it's the fall of things around us. The market is just one example, but it's the way, it's the complacency that we have in life and in the things that we do in the normal procedures. These are being questioned.
Certainly, people are beginning to show a lack of faith in government, a lack of faith in political parties. They're just fed up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lack of faith in some organized churches.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So people are beginning to see that the systems that are in place are kind of corroding from within.
What do you mean corroding from within, Lila?
Well, you look at let's take the Catholic Church, which is a huge system, which has been, you think of the Catholic Church and you think of everything always because it's been around
yes.
for so long, but it's really not outside forces that are hurting that church. It's the inside forces. They're destroying
and
them
what is,
from within. No
and,
one.
And what are
and
these the, inside forces? Are these real forces?
Well, they're. I think they're human forces.
Oh, okay. All right.
Human forces. I'm not talking about extraterrestrial forces or anything like that. I think they're human
no,
forces.
No, but, you know, with the religion, too, I mean, you have the religious wars that are going on. You have, you know, the Israeli and the Palestinians and so forth, the Catholics or the, you know, the Christians against the Muslims.
Mm-hmm. And that in itself is helping to destroy their own system. Because I think people in general can see that those three major religions are all monotheistic religions descended from the same ancestor, which was Abraham.
Mm-hmm,
and I
mm-hmm,
think educated
yes.
people can see that. So that makes them lose faith in those systems. I mean, God doesn't exist within walls or within a church or within an appointed priest or mullah or rabbi. He exists in every single one of us.
That's right.
You know, no one's special just because they have a human title. Doesn't make
mm-hmm.
them closer to God than anybody else. And
mm-hmm.
that's a great lie that the public has consumed.
Yes.
There are other systems that are also falling apart. I mean, there's the systems of the political parties in our country, the Democrats and the Republicans. They're also dying from within.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that organized religion is dying from within.
Well, I think the organized religion is dying is because of the shenanigans that's finally catching up with itself. I mean, we are experiencing the time where everything is exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the churches have been leading people and so forth, it's really taken off the religious track of our basic beliefs.
Well, I think what
happened,
in my opinion, what happened is you have someone else talking to God for you, that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You need to talk to God yourself.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And people have given up their independence in a lot of ways. And that's a real basic thing that they've given up. No one can take care of your spirituality for you. You got to do that for yourself.
But the question is, how do you do that?
Well, God is in every single one of us. You have to look for it inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
He's right. If you go out your door, for heaven's sakes, he's there in the earth and in the forest and the trees and in the flowers and plants and in the little puppy dog you have in your house. I mean, if you didn't have him, you wouldn't have. If you didn't have God, you wouldn't have those beautiful animals and the natural things that we have. I mean, that's my belief anyway. So.
No, in understanding what organized religion is going through now, like I said before, the veil has been lifted in a sense, and people are seeing, are feeling things as they are, not as how they're told to feel and think and so forth.
That's
and
right.
They're starting to think for themselves. But
and more
importantly,
they're feeling for themselves. They can feel their own connection to God, and that's an important.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That
is an important point. But you see, that's the one thing that's been taken away from organized religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you can have a personal relationship with God, or your belief system. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's the Gospel of Tom. From the Coptic text, tell us, and Thomas tells us, that the church is not a place where God is. God is within us individually,
that's
and I,
right.
I just say us. It's a matter of a being. I'm a product of His making, and I'm living and eating and partaking in this consciousness. But there's something that we were led astray. And this is going back 2,000 years at least, where people controlled us, controlled our feelings and our emotions. And
well,
part
they,
of the doing...
they step by scaring people. The way people get
mm-hmm.
dominance over you is by making you feel afraid. And because
mm-hmm.
people had so little when the church originally gained its power, they made people feel afraid. I mean, they didn't have much, but they sure hoped they would get their reward in the other world. And
mm-hmm.
they made people afraid that they wouldn't have their reward in the other world because they weren't getting in this one. They were, it was feudal times, and people lived dreadful lives.
Uh-huh.
Dreadful lives. They were very deprived, and those were very cruel times. When the church gained its power, so people were afraid that they wouldn't gain their reward in the other world. So that they,
mm-hmm.
they gave what they had to the church. They wanted blessings from the church. They wanted to be promised a way through those pearly gates.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the church made them afraid that they wouldn't unless they did what they told them to do. They always had their foot on their neck.
Well, I think that's coming full circle at this point, where the reality or the truth behind it is coming out,
yeah.
And the truth will set it free. And I think the truth is that part of understanding our nature. That it's our nature, our beliefs, or how we feel about the world, that we draw the world to us, and we are seeing the reflection of how we feel. So it's actually we're drawing and manifesting our illusional reality as much as the illusional reality we find ourselves into.
I see one on my chat room over here, and I don't know if are you looking at the chat room.
Yeah, here we go.
What do you think?
Definitely. It's,
uh-huh. Welcome to the fourth dimension.
We've repeated the same thing.
Yeah, I know, but I couldn't delete the second line, so I saw I made a mistake.
True. True the gateway.
True the gateway of George Dixon's mind. And then I put in through the gateway of George Dixon's mind. What do you think of that?
There you go. Sounds.
It's our gateway, dude.
Like
you've interrupted George's flow. It's like we're looking into your mind.
his thought.
You're illuminating
his
our mind. Yes. So. Yeah.
So go ahead, George.
Go ahead, George.
You're right, Leo. Through the gateway of George Dixon's mind, as one place. But let's get back to the original point.
Girl.
Go ahead.
You know, I've talked about this before, that, you know, our mind really is closed out from the outside world, and that it's the body, it's us, we as a physical body. That's what connects us to the outside world, along with the heart.
Which is also what? Also a physical entity, your heart.
Well, it is the it's the motor that keeps us going.
That's right.
Yeah, the brain is secondary. The body can live without the brain. And that's a hard thing to say, but that's the truth of it.
You can't live without the basal ganglia, though, which is part of the brain.
Yeah, well.
if you want to get technical about it, because that's what keeps you breathing. They'd have to do
is
a
that
machine.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that basal ganglia?
Ganglia, the autonomic nervous system.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Located in the basal ganglia. Correct?
Basal.
I think that's close. Basal.
Yeah.
Basal.
Ganglia, which is a stem, the brain stem.
Sounds like
the brain stem.
Sounds like a vegetable.
But anyway, go ahead, George. Sorry.
A few years ago, we hit some of this work. I think it was Greg Braden's work dealing with the heart and the motor prayer, the secret motor prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the ancients' knowledge of the heart and understanding its capacities, and you know what part it plays in our life. I mean, it is a major organ in our body.
Right.
You know, not as much as you know, much more so than the liver and the lungs and so forth. But understanding.
George, think of all the expressions, the verbal expressions around the heart. You say things like heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you know, Valentine's Day, the symbol of love is the heart. So much in our culture surrounds the heart. You suffer heartache when you're sad,
mm-hmm.
when you lose love.
Oh, look, I feel like love.
Mm-hmm.
Love on the beach. See that? You see that, George?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you looking at the chat room?
We're trying to be serious.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, you were concerned. I was just trying to get the proper background for our conversation.
So, I mean, what do you think about the fact that our language has developed, that there's so many phrases and references to the heart as the seat of the emotion? You know, you talk about, as I said, heartfelt, heartache, you know, heartburn,
mm-hmm.
and so forth.
Well, that's, I'm just bringing out the aspects of the heart.
Right.
The heart is that other part of us, in the duality, reality that we live in. You know, it's that physical part, of us that connects the spirit. But it is in contact with the environment that we're in. Now, the brain, our thinking and so forth, is not. That is closed off from the outside world, and the only way it can communicate with the outside world is through the body, and through the body through language and so forth. But, see, it's through language is just a tool for us to so we can understand or have cognition of a thought, because on its own it has no way to incorporate or to understand it, because it doesn't have an intermediate like the body would have. The
mm-hmm.
body has an intermediate sensations before something is heard. The impulse is instantaneous. whatever thoughts it comes in contact with, those thoughts will be reflected in the awareness of that body. It's more like the emotions, but that's how it reacts. It reacts by experiencing the emotions. Now, you know, in looking at the brain, I mean, the brain is somewhat limited. It's just like the eyes. The eyes, you know, can't see more than, let's say, 20 frames per second. I mean,
right.
It's pretty fast, but, you know, it's not instantaneous. It's something that is slowed because it's a process that it has to go through. And it can't determine it until it gets the full impact from the body itself, which is the body proper, which is the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say the heart, it's the heart is the pump, it is the motor. It produces 5,000 times more electromagnetic energy than the brain does in your thinking capacity. You think your brain, you're producing a lot of electricity. You're not. It's basically the heart that is the electromagnetic machine for the body. And I've mentioned this before, that the heart is a seven-chamber crystal, oscillating crystal, which not only produces or pumps blood for the body, but also electromagnetic energy. And it's that electromagnetic energy, which is the consciousness, thoughts. The thoughts are consciousness, but it's an electric stimulus, and you can read it from electrical source. So, we've been taught to think with our brain to be totally within an understanding, but the body or the emotional body is something that is not restricted by any procedures or any formations. Now the mind cannot experience the present; it can only evaluate the past and the future. It's the emotions that experiences the present.
Hmm. Well, what about the fact that a thought can stimulate an emotion?
Well, in a normal process of life, you know, it's in combinations that, you know, that we move. I mean, we think with our mind, and we have emotional feelings. And it's through our thinking, our linear thinking process and our emotional process that we come up with a feeling, and we would go toward that feeling or act on that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like getting an ice cream cone, you know. The ice cream cone sounds good, but the calories involved, its movement toward that both is satisfied.
If you didn't have feelings are like the gas that make the car go. That's what
tells
you to action. If you didn't have feelings, you wouldn't do anything. It's, you know, feelings of love make you get drawn toward a person and act on it. Feelings of anger propel you to become an activist, maybe, or whatever. A feeling of hunger and need for shelter makes you get a job and go to work. I mean, that's what feelings generate action.
Mm-hmm.
A necessity generates feelings, which generate action.
Well, from thoughts, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it. You don't have to think a thought, or let's say, evaluate a situation to be relieved by an outcome, a promising outcome. You know, it's.
Explain that.
We have,
okay.
In order to experience something, we can do it from a mental perspective by building our castle, then going to our castle, or feeling a castle, feeling of it already existing instead of having to build it. And you're experiencing the same thing, but from two different perspectives. One is real from one sense of mind, from a rational point of mind, and from a different perspective, it's not an irrational thought, but it's actually experienced.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I can think about going on a vacation and what it would be like and feel excitement and almost feel like the sunshine, what it would be like on the beach and get all excited about that kind of thing. It's almost as if I was there.
Uh-huh.
You know,
there you go.
I can feel those same thoughts, well, like dreaming at night. You can have a dream, and your body experiences all, you know, if you're running in that dream, your body runs. Those muscles move just the way you would be running.
That's right.
You fall in love in your dream. Your body feels that just like you would in a conscious state. Your body doesn't know you're sleeping, really. You know, your mind is asleep. I mean, your body's just a vessel, you know, just holds us.
So what do you think, George? You think we're... are you looking at the... did you take a look at the chat room?
Okay, I'm looking at it now, yeah.
What do you think?
I would agree 100%.
do you like the format? Because we'll make this like a... our theme chat room, you know, if you want. What do you think, Leda?
I think it's good.
Welcome to the fourth.
There you go. That sounds good.
I like the colors and stuff.
I like the fact that it's on the beach.
I know.
I just hope the tide doesn't come in and wash away love.
I know, but that's what we're, you know, we are love, pushing against the waves, you know, surviving out here.
We don't want to have any big waves come in and
we want to attract people to the fourth.
But I think we agree on those points, George.
I think what we have to do is get more emotionally about the whole situation, and it will change by itself.
Totally right.
That could happen. Yep.
Well, you know, it's like we've been busting our hump for years, you know, in our daily lives. I mean, first of all, it's the paradigm we live in. You know, you go to work every day. You know, you spend a third of your time working for somebody else. You come home, you have a little time of yourself. The rest of the time is you sleep. And, you know, it's like we've given everything that we have, you know, to hold what we have together, but you know, when do we sit back and enjoy the riches or the fruits from our labors?
Well,
and you know, it's a constant thing. If it's not one thing, it's another. But it's not living for yourself or experiencing for yourself. But in the meanwhile, you're feeling for yourself, and it's the energies. Or it's the lifestyle that you pull from your thoughts, or how you challenge, you know, those daily chores that leaves you with the reality that you're experiencing.
Hmm.
Well, we kind of live in a slave world, I think, where we're enslaved by so many of the systems that have captured us. We're slaves.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd say that it's a slave world altar, but I'm not partaking in it.
Well, maybe you don't have to.
Well, maybe it's my perspective, how I'm looking at it, you know. it's like if the glass was half full or half empty, you know. There's also an opposite, understanding of that. Just like, you know, everything that I do is really holding the world together. You see, without me, it would fall apart. And in a sense, that's real, because we are living in one big hologram. And I am very much part of that reality that I'm seeing and you are seeing.
Yep.
We are all part of that. And as we change, you know, that hologram or the reality or the world changes. So, you know, it's through not thinking about it, but it's through feeling about it that we connect ourselves with everything and anything. And that's part of that unity consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's believing that we are, you know, we're breathing the same air, but the same air is the same stuff that makes us who we are.
Well, I can see what you're saying. I was listening to the radio the other day coming home, and they were talking about fighting and wars, and that the powers that be are very concerned about how the American people perceive these wars that we're in. Like, the American people are beginning to perceive and understand that we're not the good guys in these wars. All along, every war that we fought, we believed that we were the good guys. And when you believe that you're the good guy, you do extraordinary things for success. Now we're believing we're not the good guys. In fact, we're the bad guys. That makes for a not a good fighting force, and a force that may not be invested in winning, only invested in getting out of there any way they can.
Well, see, that's part of the veil that's put over this. You say, you know, the way we think today changes from the way we thought yesterday and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're connecting yourself with we. And, you know, you're not in the military. I mean, you're not over fighting wars. The politicians that are making these laws are saying that you're a we, but, you know, that's their business, not yours. And, I may be responsible for what my government does because, you know, I give them the tax money or they get the tax money to do what they want to without having to be hindered by, you know, what I have to say about it. But it's what do you think, Leo? You're the liberal person here.
I don't really think much about
liberal
it.
Minded.
I don't know. I've been kind of skipping through this conversation a little bit and passing by something.
You're playing with the chat room.
Well, no. What I've been trying to do is listen to the two of you talk and try to blend the chat room, you know, stage to what we're talking about. And I started thinking that the fourth dimensional aspect of what we need to do is describe it to the best that we can what the fourth dimension is and how we are trying to ascend there, trying to evolve there, trying to figure out where it is. And
well, you see, Leo, it's not trying to. We are. You see, that's the problem. And, you know, this is part of the problem we're experiencing now for the seventh day, which is coming next.
Right.
See, it's like we are going to become co-creators of the reality around us, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Mayan prophecies say. We
right.
will become co-creators.
Where
now, in order for us...
Go ahead.
In order for us to be co-creators, we have to believe that. And believing that is feeling that, and so you could put it into motion.
Yeah.
So in order for you to become co-creators, and you mentioned before about your dream, Lila, that you can do anything. You're not restricted by, let's say, time, space, as we know it, in a conscious state.
Right.
But you see, it's through the emotional body that you change the thinking or change your position in this co-inhabited world, and it will be changed. We will change our view of the world this year in response to going into that co-creation state of the seventh day. Well, you know, it's not really going to be a full co-creation. I think that's left, until 2011. But I think it's ending the cycle that we're in a fourth dimensional state. The fourth dimensional state is your emotions, your feelings. And that is the state that we're going to. And that is the state where we bypass this mental backlog that we have, and go directly with the emotions to the point, not restricted by time or space.
Do you think that it's we begin to take more responsibility for what happens to us and that we don't put our faith in these systems that have been developed that we become closer to God in that way.
Well, I think it's...
I see being a co-creator is by taking responsibility for yourself. That's the first creation that you have.
Yes, but, you know, you have to do it instead of help to do it. There's no intermediate understanding here. If you're doing something, you're going to do it. It's not that you can do it once you feel better, then hopefully you feel better because you'll never feel better. Then that's an obstacle that you put in front of you.
No,
forget about the obstacle.
No, that isn't what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that that co-creation is being who you are and taking responsibility for who you are and not giving your life over to someone else or something else. When you have spiritual development, it's your own spiritual development. It's not through a church or a priest. That's the basic thing that you need to do. That's creation.
Me. That's right.
That's how I'm taking responsibility. But maybe I'm way off base. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean by taking responsibility? Responsibility of what?
For yourself. For your creation.
Well, why do you put yourself in a situation where you have to be responsible for yourself?
Because that's how we're made. We were made to do that.
No, we weren't.
We weren't made to have someone else do all these things for us, I don't think.
No.
We should be doing it ourselves.
Well, it's not the matter we should. We do it ourselves. There's no intermediate there. You see, you're implementing something that doesn't exist. It's imaginary.
Well, a system is imaginary. The system is imaginary. It's not real. And most people have put their faith in a system that's false.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it. So I think of it as the breakdown of those systems, and then you become a co-creator with God because there's no one.
Right.
Because then there's no one between you and God. I mean, why should there be? That's how I see co-creation. But maybe I'm too literal.
No.
Well, you know, we have a chance now with this 2012 to, just skip this type of paradigm, dimensional paradigm altogether. And I think that's where we're going to. We're being blocked here by schematics of which way should we go, right or left. And I say right or left because that's the dimensional directions we have to choose from, and it's hard to picture life or consciousness outside the box, and that basically is what it is.
Well, because we are so used to seeing things in the way that we see things, it's very difficult, as you said, to go outside of that box. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not only seeing things, but experiencing things, because we are experiencing, at least the body itself, I believe that that's another part of me that's separate from me, that lives, if I like it or not, and its purpose is to survive one way or another, and it
right.
will. So I say that's another part of me. That's part of the physical part of me, and that's part of this physical reality of life, of just survival. As an animal or as a being, but that's only secondary, to the spiritual power that gives it direction, if you'd want to call it that. It is a separate part of me, and it is endowed with its own characteristics and survival tactics. And the best part of it is that I don't fight my body anymore. I mean, years ago I used to do it, I just let it do what it has to do, and I do what I have to do.
that makes sense. I like that idea, too.
You like that idea, too?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, just let it go.
Yeah, if I hit my...
Catch up to it, people.
If I hit my thumb with a hammer, you know, it's going to respond to me, and it's not going to like it. But, you know, I try not to do that.
Well, I was going to say, we won't let you have any hammers.
I'm only goping with you.
I know you are.
So, so how do we get to the fourth dimension, George?
Well, I think it's through the emotions, Leo. It's through your heart. You feel.
You got to break away.
You put your feelings in motion.
Yeah.
If I do that, I'm afraid. I honestly think if I generate the frustration and anger that I feel on a daily basis, I think I'd be very dangerous. You know, when this period ends here, where we become what are we looking for here?
Co-creative.
Yeah, I mean, because that would become.
Why do you say that now, Leo?
And radicalism, huh? That's all right.
So why do you say that?
I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to.
Maybe you're setting yourself up.
For what?
Four obstacles, or you know?
Well, no, I don't think so. Unleashing Leo on the world seems kind of a frightening thing to do. But what the hell have I been doing?
You already have done it.
I've been doing it for 10 years, so what's the difference? It's just that, you know, I think it's a time. I think what it is, we're arriving at a time now where. Maybe Andy Warhol was right. Everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame, you know. But because we're rising to a level of understanding that it precedes anything that we've ever even imagined that we're going to go through, and it's going to just become an automatic thing. It's not really.
Maybe you'll recognize it after.
What is going to become automatic, Leo?
The evolution to enlightenment, the evolution that we are all waiting for here.
Maybe those that are more enlightened will kind of pull the rest of us along.
Yeah. Hey, George, go ahead.
Well, maybe we'll just wake up to the reality ourselves.
Yeah, go into next time you go into Facebook, check out my memberships that I've joined, and there's one called Ascension Consciousness, and it's a group, and they're very active, and they have a beautiful picture of a waterfall, Ascension Consciousness or something like that, or Unity Consciousness or whatever, but you might want to check that out and see what they got. A lot of interesting stuff there, you know.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff on Facebook. Holy cow! There's a lot of people got a lot of interesting stuff to show.
Shows you that a lot of people are moving along.
Yeah, they're. I mean, Facebook is the way to go because it's the, it's so immediate. You can throw YouTube videos on there. You can throw your own pictures on there. You can be, you can do everything, and give you incredible. News on different news items, you know, and important people and stuff like that. So it's great. Hell, I've even got Vladimir Putin is one of my friends. So you're right up there.
Is that right?
Oh, Vlad. He's one of
Leo's 5,000 friends.
No, I've only got.
There you go.
It's just that that's modest. It's just that
anybody could be his friend.
Not anybody. I like, you know, I don't want people that are going to write a junk all over my board and stuff, and I have to censor. I'm just trying to find our good folks, and they all seem to have something interesting to say. And, people that want to be friends, you know, and share their knowledge and share their excitement and stuff. You know what I mean? That's what Facebook is like. It's really fun.
Anyway, moving on from that a little bit, George, I wanted to talk a little bit about we were supposed to make contact with our neighbors.
Yes.
And I have. Did you want to finish up and then have a few minutes to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll move into that, but I wanted to say before that, you know, understanding the powers that we have the powers to hold this illusion that we're experiencing now together, and we do hold it together. And yet, you know, we question, you know, maybe one of these days I'll be able to hold it together if I get initiated enough. But you see, the truth of the matter is that we are holding that together, and what we see or what we experience, we're drawing to ourselves because of it's what we feel and what we think on the inside. You know, just because you don't say it verbally outright, but your emotions will give you away, your feelings will give you away, and your feelings will draw to you what you're experiencing. So understand that, first of all, believe that what this life you're living is something that you are really holding together yourself. And part of experiencing the whole process is that you have control over what you think and what you draw to yourself, because you're a legend in your own mind. So I'm saying watch out what you think for, because it will manifest. I mean, you heard the expression, watch out what you pray for. You know, I mean, you'll get it. And believe that. And that's what that co-creation process is all about, that we're creating now things in our lives that we don't realize that we're doing, but we're doing it because this is how we feel. Okay, now the connection with our alien or our galactic neighbors.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was kind of looking in the press and everything to see if there was, if there have been any recent sightings. I haven't seen any media attention to anything. Have you?
No, not to the media, other than, you know, there's a game going back and forth, you know, with these UFO groups and, you know, verifying this or that and so forth, but no direct outward, you know, news bulletins, you know, that the aliens are there and so forth.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem is that, you know, some of the alien brotherhoods that we connect with, just our thinking scares them, because you know, what we think we draw to ourselves. So, you know, just for us being or them being in the company of us, they would pick up that negativity, if you'd want to call it that, or a less evolved species than some of these higher beings.
Right.
Higher beings where, you know, they live on multi-dimensions, and, you know, we talk about the fourth dimension, the Palladians and so forth, our group, and there's a few other places that you have some of these advanced souls that are still on a three-dimensional plane, but they live in a fourth-dimensional reality. And that is, like the Volusians from Venus. There are physical beings that live on Venus, and the way they're able to survive within the environment, which would be hostile to us, is being able to resonate their frequency or their body energies above frequency of the elements. And they're not affected by it. So, you know, it's just another form of consciousness, but it's raising the vibratory level and the frequencies of the frequency that you're dealing with.
So, where do they really exist then? If they're not on a third dimensional, what dimension do they exist on?
Well, they are on third dimensional and fourth dimensional, Leo.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, people. People talk about some of the sightings where they just disappear into thin air. And what it is they're disappearing into another dimension of space.
Right.
Oh. So they're still there, but they're another...
Can they see us?
Oh, sure.
So they see us. We can't see them, but they see us, huh?
No, we can't see. It depends. You see, years ago, I found it kind of strange because in following some of these abductee cases and sightings and so forth, it's people see some of these ships in the skies where other people can't see them, just like, you know, a person could be looking dead up at a saucer and his neighbor can't see anything there.
Yet
I found, yes, I found a family who the whole family watched an incident, and where other people didn't. But it's like the whole family was tuned into the frequency where they could relate to one another and they could experience it. And, you know, it's understandable in a sense, just like, you know, all families have their own traits and so forth. And I'm saying, you know, what happens in this house stays in this house and, you know, nowhere else. I'm saying that in a good sense where, you know, is a relationship among people. And sometimes they're
like,
able to,
yeah, we're like
able to experience the
aliens.
Let
right?
George finish. You interrupt.
That's
go
right.
ahead, George.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, it's the vibratory rate of the vibratory consciousness and emotional consciousness that people are more apt to identify readily than they would, let's say, a lineal understanding of something.
So I
don't know I with the aliens. I don't know when our galactic neighbors are going to make a full push toward acknowledging they're among us. But I think from the midpoint on, there could be a good possibility that we may see some of that.
Contact.
Some of that to happen.
But it's not being reported.
Well, it is happening. It's not reported, but I don't think it's a grand arrival in a sense where now we have quite a few countries around the world who acknowledge the existence of these extraterrestrial beings, but it's not in full agreement totally.
Now,
I think it's just a matter of time.
What countries are those, George? Can you think of any? Like,
well, Brazil, for one, Mexico, and I think France, and Great Britain now, I think, has acknowledged, extraterrestrial activity or their involvement in years.
What is? I don't know what our country's position is. We have no position?
Well, it has been... Yeah, they poo-poo it down, and you can't because it's. I think 80% of the American public believe extraterrestrials or do believe in flying saucers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how
can you hold it down? You know,
they don't believe in conspiracy theories.
Well, that's true.
They believe in UFOs, but they don't believe in conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. But anyway.
That's what they tell us anyway.
Well, so,
I'm looking at the mid period of this sixth night for maybe some real meetings or arrivals or acknowledgments, I should say. You know.
Right.
Well, that would be interesting to see if that.
What do you think they'll appear like, George?
Do you have any thoughts about how they'll appear?
Yeah.
Or do you just, you don't know, or have any thoughts
on it? They appear through media.
Well,
like the movies have them landing in front of the White House.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or how are they going to appear?
What do you think?
No, it would probably be through the media. You know, I don't think they're going to come down on a spaceship. You know, first of all, you know, there are aliens here already, you know, that live in the underground, in the inner earth, and also in our bases.
Media, because, I mean, they know about it already. You know, it's just that, and they're covering everything up for panic, but for panic and crowd control, you know. I think it's going to come out through people like us. It's going to come out through, people on YouTube. People who are watching and aware of what's going on, and people like one of our listeners has talked about it. Remember, George? Cryptic animal was her tag. which is funny. And she spoke about it, and she even sent us a copy of the what the alien looked like. And mm-hmm. So there are people.
Maybe
there.
There'll be just a bunch of individual sightings.
So I'm thinking until it becomes
common.
Until it becomes common.
I think it's just a matter of time.
Everyone has a friend who's an alien.
Basically, yeah.
I think it's a matter of time before, you know, they will make their appearance known. But, you know, I think what's going to happen before that is that the consciousness is catching up with itself. And just like all these different beliefs, regardless of you know, if you believe aliens are real or not, you know, there's a consciousness connected with it, and it's got to play itself out. So, you know, you have so many people, you know, who believe this is going to happen, and it's going to happen because it's going to draw that consciousness and manifest itself. So, you know, it's how you look at it. I was looking at possibly in controlling, let's say, an acknowledgement like this, and, you know, one way of controlling people's feelings, you know, is through fear and so forth. And you could do that with this alien threat, if you'd want to call it that. But if nothing else, it has to happen. It has to play itself out. Just like the understanding of your religious beliefs. You know, whatever you believe, it's got to happen. It's got to manifest. If you think that Christ is going to come again, he's going to come again. If you think Allah is coming again, he'll come. You know, it's where you put your belief and your heart, and it will manifest.
That's fascinating. I guess that's all true.
What were you going to say before?
I was trying to think of how to segue that into into everything we're doing right now, everything that's happening around us. These desires, people who are wanting war, people who want death, people who want disease, people. I mean, there are horrid thoughts going out in the universe right now against humanity. And it seems that, you know, we have to counter that in some way by throwing good thoughts and good positive thoughts out there as well to combat.
No, Leo, you don't. You don't, and that's where you're wrong.
Right.
You don't have to do anything. Understand that there are people who are going to go outside the box in 2012. And there's going to be those people who are going to stay inside the box. Inside the box is that three-dimensional reality that we have experienced right now. Understand that, you know, they have the choice. People have the choice. And it's not that something is going to end.
Sticking with cable. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
They always have that choice. Buying...
So people can rise outside the box.
Right.
The sky's the limit.
What do you mean?
Well, the three-dimensional box that we live in.
Will no longer be, because you listen to George Dixon right here on the L.A. Steel Show, and we're just about out of time. And I want to tell you, I think we had an interesting discussion tonight, George. So thank you.
You know, we got to get back to the heart or our feelings, because it's the feelings and the collective feelings that bring us together that, you know, will give us more of a brighter tomorrow instead of the doom and gloom that, you know, they have been predicting about this time, which is just total garbage. It is a time of completion, and I really look forward to the years to come. And, in fact, I look forward now to just the movement on how fast time and space is moving. And my life is moving along with our lives at the same time.
Right. Well,
it's fascinating.
Say good night to everybody, and then, because we're going to lose them in about 15 seconds, so if we haven't lost them already. Well, I want to thank everybody. Thanks, George. And we'll continue. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And now, go ahead, George. We just lost our
streaming.
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say something that I've said before. I've had kids come in and tell me, oh, the Mayan calendar says the world's going to end in 2012. You know, and we see all these movies and they have death and destruction and horrible things happen. And, you know, I said, it's not going to be like that. That's somebody else's idea of what it's going to be like. I said, my idea of what it's going to be like, and I could make a movie on it just as much as these people could, is it's like a graduation. You're going to graduate to another level. Just like when you're in at the end of eighth grade, you're going to go to high school. I said, well, we're going to go to a more developed place or plane or vibration where we'll have new things to learn and new challenges, and I think it'll be very exciting.
Yeah. That's, I think, and they were happy with that idea.
Well, it was a lot better than hurricanes and storms
and
death.
Hell, yeah.
I said, that's someone else's idea. I said, did it ever occur to you that they could be wrong?
There you go.
You know, why is there...
And
they said they didn't think about it. Well, they're only children. They don't think that someone...
That there's another
alternative, that it doesn't have to be like that. I said, that's someone else's idea. They have a horrid idea.
If it hasn't happened yet, it doesn't have to happen.
That's right.
You know, that's the way I look at it.
That's right.
So.
But they're kids, and they don't realize that their ideas can, and that's one of the things that happens to people. They don't realize that their feelings can be just as strong as someone else's.
That's right.
That they have as much power as someone else does.
To create their own future.
And in some ways, we take people's personal power away.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lifetime of
systems. By being a Democrat or
taking our personal
Catholic
power
or,
away.
Yeah,
and I think that's so wrong.
By falling into line and, you know, conforming with the masses. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, of course, when you live in a societies, there's some things that you have to conform to that are universal.
Yeah,
like
you want to be in society, but
thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal.
Those are basic universal
things that you should conform to, I believe. But anyway, what do you think, George? He's very quiet up there, isn't he?
All I know is that I'm enjoying the hell out of myself, and I'm imagining every day.
Good.
I'm actually producing my tomorrows by today, my thoughts today.
You're absolutely right.
I think George has already graduated to that better place.
So.
Yeah, there you go. Look at him. It was nice talking tonight, guys.
Yeah.
But I got to say that you know, we get so locked up into these different lineal ways of looking at things and even belief systems, you know.
Oh,
but,
isn't it hard
to
experiment? It's very difficult.
Thank you for joining us, Pamela Joy. She says, hi, everyone.
Hi, Pamela.
And
hi, Pamela. Thanks for listening.
But unfortunately, she can't hear us now.
Oh, well.
But nevertheless, thanks for joining us. And, George, as always, we appreciate you joining us, and it's been a fun night.
Talk to you soon.
I've enjoyed myself, and God be with you, and thank you.
Okay, good night, George.
Bye-bye, George.
Good night.
See you later. And that was George Dixon with...
his thoughts.
With his thoughts, right. And
mine with my sort of fragmented ones.
And Lila with her fragmented thoughts, and me with my fragmented thoughts, and we've become quite fragmented here. In fact, we're not even streaming anymore.
Well, good night,
folks.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, so have a pleasant evening. Good night.